Married at First Sight. Chapter 4116. Most young people in the Farrell family don't make it into the headquarters of Farrell Group. Instead, they work at its subsidiaries, just like regular employees. They put in long hours for a modest salary of $4,000 or $5,000 a month. Being part of the Farrell family doesn't guarantee a high-paying job. Those who lack skills or work ethic can't even get into the subsidiaries. Clarissa made it clear when she was alive the Farrell Group wouldn't carry dead weight. Anyone hoping to coast through and collect a white-collar paycheck was just dreaming. For most family members, the biggest perk was the festival bonuses, a gift package and a red envelope from the company. These were distributed equally, regardless of age or seniority. Newborns and elders alike received the same amount. After a moment of thought, Liberty said, "If I don't have a daughter, there's still Saren and Elisa. They could have daughters." Grandma York's trusted master had predicted that Serenity and Zachary would have both sons and daughters. A daughter was inevitable. And once Elisa married, she might have a daughter, too. Either way, the Farrell family wouldn't be left without an heir. "Let's eat. No more heavy topics at the table," Pedro said with a smile, shifting the conversation. Everyone nodded, focusing on the meal instead. After dinner, the two couples strolled through the yard. The Farrell family mansion wasn't as crowded with servants as it once was. Catherine didn't like having too many people around, and Liberty felt the same. Audrey had handpicked the current staff efficient, trustworthy, and to Catherine's satisfaction. When Clarissa was alive, she had replaced every servant, including the butler, making sure none of the old staff remained. Catherine had been wary of the servants being bribed by her three brothers, so she dismissed them all and let Audrey bring in new people. As they walked, Catherine turned to Pedro. "You leave for your business trip tomorrow. While you're away, I'll spread some rumors and make sure my brothers hear them." Pedro hesitated. "That soon?" He hated leaving her. "The sooner we get rid of them, the sooner I can enjoy some peace," Catherine said. "Once they're in jail, I need you to transfer some money to my dad, enough for his monthly expenses. Make sure he knows it's meant to last him the rest of his life." She continued, "He shouldn't blow through it just because he got a lump sum. According to my mother's will, my brothers were supposed to take care of him in his old age. If I'm in a good mood, I might send him extra. If not, I won't. At the end of the day, he's still my father. He never loved me, but I carry his blood. I won't be cruel. I'll make sure he has the basics and doesn't starve." Holden had settled back in his hometown and was living well. Catherine knew that much. He didn't have much money himself, but his three sons were considered wealthy there. Each of them sent him tens or even hundreds of thousands a month, funding his comfortable lifestyle, complete with multiple caretakers. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4117. Chapter 4117. Pedro stopped. Catherine stopped too. "What's wrong?" she asked. Pedro hesitated before looking at her. "You don't want to follow my plan." "Miss, I'll do whatever you ask of me," he assured her. "But, can you wait two more days? I'm worried." Catherine's expression turned serious. "Pedro, trust me. Trust yourself. I can protect myself, and you can protect me. I might get hurt, but my life won't be in danger." Ahead of them, Liberty and Duncan walked on, unaware that Pedro and Catherine had stopped. The distance between them grew. Before Pedro could react, Catherine suddenly grabbed his face, stood on tiptoe, and pressed a soft kiss to his warm lips. Pedro immediately wrapped his arms around her, turning passive into active, deepening the kiss. She was a woman in love. He was a man devoted to her. But Pedro never initiated anything intimate. It was always Catherine who took the lead. To Pedro, Catherine wasn't just the woman he loved, she was his master. He held a deep respect for her, and taking the initiative felt like overstepping his bounds. But when Catherine made the first move, he never held back. After the passionate kiss, Catherine's breath was slightly uneven. Pedro held her close, letting her rest against his chest as she caught her breath. "Pedro, I want to marry you soon," Catherine murmured. "Once this trouble is resolved, you won't have to worry anymore. Just focus on transitioning things to liberty. When everything is stable, we can leave and get our marriage certificate. I won't feel at peace until all of this is behind us. Even if we got married now, my heart wouldn't be settled." Pedro gently touched her face, his eyes filled with tenderness stronger than the finest wine. He promised in a low, affectionate voice, "Okay. I'll do whatever you say. I promise your life will never be in danger." If Catherine's life was at risk, Pedro wouldn't live either. He was hers in life and hers in death. They were bound together forever. Up ahead, Liberty turned her head to glance back. Catherine quickly pulled Pedro forward and said, "It's settled. This afternoon, I'll go with Liberty and Duncan to visit the Queen family. You don't have to come. The bodyguards will accompany me." Pedro knew he couldn't change her mind. "All right." That afternoon, Catherine took several bodyguards and accompanied Liberty and Duncan to the Queen family's home. The Queen and York families were already in-laws. The Hunt and York families were connected too, and Liberty had close ties with the Queen family. Pedro wasn't with Catherine. The next day, Monday, people returned to work and school. At Farrell Group, Pedro was nowhere to be seen. Days passed, and still, he didn't appear. Catherine told everyone he was on a business trip. She had sent him to another province for an important task, and he wouldn't be back for at least 10 days to 2 weeks. This news quickly reached Marco and his brothers. They had been on sick leave, but after hearing that Pedro was gone, they suddenly recovered and returned to work. Marco hadn't changed. He was still as arrogant and domineering as ever. While others completed the tasks assigned by Liberty on time, Marco and his brothers constantly dragged their feet. Even after multiple reminders, they barely got their work done, and when they did, the results were a mess. In the president's office, Liberty sat behind her half-moon-shaped desk. Marco and his brothers stood in front of her. She tossed their reports onto the desk with a frustrated sigh. "Look at these plans and reports. They're a disaster. What a mess." Her gaze hardened. "You're vice presidents. You earn high salaries. And this is the quality of work you turn in? Do your results justify your pay?" Married at First Sight, Chapter 4118. Chapter 4118. Liberty slammed their reports onto the table, her expression filled with anger. The moment she saw them, she didn't hold back. Marco casually pulled out a chair and sat down. "Liberty. Who told you to sit?" Liberty cut him off sharply. "In this company, address me properly. It's President Farrell. I've changed my last name to Farrell. From now on, I am Liberty Farrell." Her voice was firm, commanding. Marco hesitated, then reluctantly stood up. Liberty's gaze swept over the three brothers. "With your attitude, no company would tolerate you. Vice President Jansen, I'm warning you, if you don't shape up, don't blame me for what happens next. I don't care whose sons you are. Farrell Group doesn't keep slackers. And we certainly don't keep people who coast along, doing the bare minimum." Marco scoffed. "President Farrell, this work used to be done by others. We've never handled these tasks ourselves. If we actually had to do it, our mother would have taught us how. But you fired our secretaries and expect us to handle it alone. How are we supposed to? We're leaders, big or small, leaders delegate. That's the job. Management is about overseeing, not doing everything ourselves." The moment Liberty took over Farrell Group, she got rid of the three brothers' secretaries. Before that, most of their work had been done by subordinates. Now, Liberty was making them handle things personally. To be honest, Even if they wanted to do the work, they wouldn't do it well. They were used to giving orders, not following them. After all, they were vice presidents, the sons of the company's former president. Back when Shiloh was alive, she was the chosen successor. The three of them had been her brothers, walking around the company like they owned the place. No one dared challenge them. They had power. Influence. People flattered them. Even clients treated them with respect, eager to work with Farrell Group. But now? They were nobodies. Their so-called supporters had either been fired or reassigned to subsidiaries. One by one, those who once surrounded them disappeared. It all started when Catherine rose to power. At first, they dismissed her. To them, she was nothing more than a nobody, weak, incompetent, not worth their time. Even when she achieved success, they convinced themselves it was because of Pedro. But then, their mother started relying on Catherine more and more. The company's senior executives began treating her with respect. That's when it hit them. Catherine had played them all. She had pretended to be weak, only to outmaneuver them completely. By the time they realized what was happening, it was too late. Their mother had already chosen her as the real successor. And as for them? They were nothing more than dead weight. After their mother left, things only got worse. They had given up. Every day, they showed up at the company just to leave again. Or they stayed in their offices, playing games, knowing their paychecks would still arrive. Catherine had caught them slacking off multiple times. She had scolded them, warned them, but they never took it seriously. And now, Liberty was coming after them too. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4119. Chapter 4119. Liberty's tone was firm. I'm the head of this family now, not your mother. If you can't handle the responsibilities of a vice president, then step down. I won't tolerate anyone sitting around collecting a paycheck for nothing. She wasn't about to let them get away with their laziness. The three brothers had already suffered significant losses in their business ventures. The only assets they had that remained stable were the rental properties and commercial spaces they had purchased. That was why Holden had urged his sons to return home, buy more properties, and live off rental income. It was a far more secure path than their reckless business investments. If a property wasn't renting well, they could always sell it and recover some money. But their business ventures? Those were a different story. More often than not, they ended up in debt. When Clarissa was alive, she had bailed them out countless times, dipping into her private funds to cover their losses. Of course, there were times when they turned a profit. But that was only because they took contracts from Farrell Group, relying on the company to absorb the risks. Their success came at the company's expense. The profits Marco and his brothers had made over the years were built on the backs of Farrell Group's losses. Marco's face darkened. He wanted to argue but held back, his jaw tightening as he glared at Liberty. She met his gaze head-on, unflinching. Big brother. Sage and Noel quickly pulled Marco back. Noel, always the more tactful of the three, forced a smile as he picked up the documents Liberty had thrown on the table. President Farrell, we'll redo them right away properly this time. We'll make sure they meet your expectations. Marco exhaled sharply, trying to contain his frustration. Without a word, he snatched the documents from Noel's hand and stormed out. President Farrell, we'll get back to work, Sage and Noel said before hurrying after Marco. The moment they stepped out of the president's office, Sage turned back and spat in the direction of the office. Noel shot him a warning look. Sage, the secretary is still here. The president's secretary had changed. The one who had served under Clarissa was gone. Back when Catherine was temporarily in charge of Farrell Group, the former secretary had resigned, knowing full well that a shift in power meant a shift in staff. She had been with Farrell Group for years and understood the politics of the business world. Resigning on her own terms gave her a dignified exit better than waiting for Liberty to come in and dismiss her. The new secretary had previously worked for Catherine. Catherine had recognized her competence and recommended her to Liberty, who decided to keep her. As an outsider taking over Farrell Group, Liberty had little foundation within the company. She needed someone familiar with its operations, and this secretary proved to be an asset. At the elevator, the three brothers ran into Catherine. She was alone, dressed in a professional suit that made her appear delicate and unassuming. In terms of presence, she didn't exude the same sharp, commanding aura that Liberty did. Catherine and Cameron were alike in that way on the surface, they seemed fragile, even weak. But beneath that exterior was a sharp mind and an unshakable resolve. Catherine held a document in her hand, on her way to discuss business with Liberty. After the new year, she had stepped aside for Liberty to take over, returning to her former role as vice president. Ever since learning the truth about her mother's illegitimate rise to power, Catherine no longer considered herself the rightful owner of Farrell Group. The four siblings locked eyes. Then, without a word, Catherine stepped out of the elevator and walked past them. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4120. Chapter 4120. Marco stepped in front of Catherine, blocking her path. She didn't want to argue with him, so she simply walked around the three brothers and continued toward the president's office. They watched her go, their expressions dark and unreadable. "Brother, let's go," Noel said, stepping into the elevator first. Marco tore his gaze away and followed, pulling Sage in with him. "I heard Pedro was sent on a business trip," Noel whispered. "Catherine arranged for him to work in another province. He won't be back for at least 10 days, maybe half a month. I've been paying attention too. Lately, Catherine's only been seen with her bodyguards. I really haven't spotted Pedro around," Sage added. "I asked around," Noel continued. "Pedro flew out of Jensburg a few days ago." Marco's voice dropped to a near whisper. "This is the office. Not here. We'll talk at home tonight." The two younger brothers immediately fell silent. A moment later, the elevator doors opened onto their floor. The three of them stormed out, their faces set in scowls. Cursing under their breath, they stomped toward their offices, making sure everyone heard them bad-mouthing Liberty. They didn't care who was listening. In fact, that was the point. If they kept quiet, people might think they were plotting something. This way, they made it clear they still despised the new president. The employees on that floor had long grown accustomed to the vice president's openly criticizing Liberty. Some workers, eager to get on Liberty's good side, secretly reported everything to her, hoping to gain favor. Others stayed out of it entirely, focusing on their own work. And then there were those who turned to Catherine, urging her not to give up her influence in the company. They worried that if Catherine fully stepped back, Liberty would remove the three Jansen brothers entirely. After all, the entire company knew about the deep hatred between Liberty and the former president. Would Liberty really allow the sons of her enemy to stay in power? Not a chance. It was only a matter of time. But firing them outright would require severance pay. The new president clearly wasn't willing to waste company money compensating them. Instead, she was making their lives miserable, pushing them toward quitting on their own. Inside the president's office, Liberty's ears burned red. Catherine noticed immediately. "Why are your ears suddenly red?" she asked. "My adoptive mother used to say that if your ears turn red for no reason, it means someone is bad-mouthing you. Or cursing you out." She smirked. "I just ran into my three brothers. I'd bet anything they're cursing you, probably with some real venom." Liberty touched her warm ears, unconcerned. "If they're not insulting me, they're not breathing. They keep threatening to quit, but ever since we took over, they've been on sick leave, barely showing up. But now? They're coming in every single day. On time. No leaving early. Sure, they're still slacking off, but at least they've mastered the art of punctuality. Gotta give them credit for that." Her tone was laced with sarcasm. Catherine chuckled. They know Pedro's away and want to confirm it for themselves. How else could they plan their next move? Honestly, I wish they'd just get on with it. Stop stalling and take action already. They're so hesitant, it's pathetic. Liberty laughed. Most people try to avoid getting stabbed in the back, but you? You're practically inviting it. Is Pedro back? Catherine nodded. Yeah, he's back. And he's staying hidden. With my brother's limited connections and lack of real skill, there's no way they'll figure it out.